And move ahead with the program. Next we have Dr. Scott Stewart. He's going to talk to us about microbial degradation of neonicotinoid insecticides in the soil.
Thanks, Ryan. I'll try not to take too much time. You're going to start that timer for me because I can go long. You already introduced my talk, so I'll just jump right into it. And I'm not going to give a lot of history. I actually gave this history earlier today in another presentation, but pretty much everybody knows in the room, I think, that we really have two thrips control options that we're using in the Mid-South and the Southeast anyhow, and they're both the neonic seed treatments, either imidacloprid or thimethoxam at a similar use rate. I mentioned in a previous talk that the Bayer varieties, such as Fibromax and Stoneville, come from the company with a base of 0.135 milligrams active ingredient of imidacloprid, so any downstream or subsequent treatment, actually you end up with 0.375 plus 0.135 milligrams of active ingredient, which is an additional 36%. And I showed this slide earlier too, and that is, we've known for a while Timic is the best at controlling thrips. You look in the Mid-South across a bunch of data, and this is a bunch of data collected in Tennessee and in Arkansas over a 10-year period. Even though Timic's controlling thrips, it's not really protecting our yield anymore. So this is showing yield increase above an untreated check, and we're seeing similar levels of protection with both, and actually numerically a little better protection with the neonicotinoid seed treatments than with Timic. But we've been having some performance issues, particularly beginning about 2010, 2011. We started seeing some issues that may or may not be related to the activity of the insecticide, may have been related to treatment, but we started seeing some blips in our in the performance of the insecticide seed treatments, and in particular with Cruiser or thimethoxam. This is just, incidentally, a picture of a field. Off to the right, the grower had planted a Stoneville variety. You can't see that. But then he came into this field and he planted the end rows first, which they commonly do with that same variety, ran out of seed, switched to another variety. And then I got a call 3-4 weeks later saying, boy, this variety stinks. And it was not a variety problem. It was a thrips problem. The difference there is Aris versus Cruiser, or at least what was supposed to be Cruiser. Can't really confirm that at the time when you're standing there in the field. But besides seeing some things in the fields, we started seeing some blips in our data. We started seeing where, for whatever reason, when we had a failure, thimethoxam seemed to be a little bit worse than imidacloprid. This is showing test data from 2012, thrips numbers per five plants at about 3 weeks after planting. And we actually have numerically more thrips where we're using the thimethoxam-based treatments, either Cruiser or Cruiser Evicta Duo, compared to even the checks, but certainly compared to imidacloprid, in this case Aris or Aris Poncho Votivo. And in this test, as I mentioned previously today, one of the things that caught my attention when I was rating it is that we didn't have that many thrips, but it seemed like we had an inordinate amount of thrips injury. And we were looking at this test. In fact, I had some Syngenta folks out in the field saying, why is your stuff not working? And we started asking these questions. And I called Blake Brown, who's the superintendent, director of the Myelin Experiment Station, to bring out the herbicide records for that field. And they'd used unusually high rates of Cotteran and Dual pre-emergence. In fact, we normally don't recommend Dual pre-emergence because we know it can cause some injury. So it looked like maybe I was rating some herbicide injury along with thrips injury in this field. And that led to a couple of hypotheses, and one I'm not really going to talk about because my graduate student just talked about it about an hour ago, was that these pre-emergence herbicides are interfering with the uptake of neonicotinoid insecticides by the plant. Maybe they're pruning the roots or something like that, and we're not getting the concentration in the plant. And for whatever reason, maybe thimethoxam is being more effective than imidacloprid. And there is reason to believe that because we had data from this year, in fact, where we saw where we used pre-emerge herbicides, and that's pictured here in the graph on the right, where we had Cotteran or Cotteran or Reflex or Cotteran or Dual, the tendency was we had more immature thrips, at least at some times during the season, on those plants than where we didn't use pre-emerge herbicide. So maybe they didn't have insecticides in the plant. But again, I'm not even going to talk about that. Second hypothesis we have, and the one I am going to discuss, is that we had some kind of enhanced degradation of the neonic insecticides by soil microbes. And again, for whatever reason, this may be affecting thimethoxam more than imidacloprid. And there's reason to believe this could happen. It's been documented with Timic that there's some soil metabolism by microbes. One of my colleagues in Tennessee, Larry Steckel, along with Tom Mueller, did a great study with atrazine. Atrazine can go from having 3 weeks residual to 3 days residual if you plant into a field that has a long history of atrazine use. They showed some really classic examples of how you can reduce residual control with that product just from previous year after year exposure and building up those soil microbes that eat the herbicide. So I'm going to talk about a little study I did to look at this and try to explain why we are seeing thiamethoxam performance issues. So essentially this is just a 2x2 factorial, and the factors were either previously exposed soil or soil that had never been exposed to a neonicotinoid insecticide. We chose soil from a problem field where we were having control problems at the Milan experiment station versus a mowed grass area located in Jackson. Not the same soil type, not the same soil moisture, keep that in mind. And then to sterilize the soil of microbes, we autoclaved, we mixed all the soil, and then we autoclaved one half or not. And of course, the autoclaved half, we hope we controlled the soil microbes or killed the soil microbes. And then we treated the soil with either a dilution of Gaucho imidacloprid or Cruiser thiamethoxam. Now, I didn't make any attempt to standardize difference in the soil collected from the different locations, or that might be caused by autoclaving, because if you start off and dry the soil down and try to get it standardized, you might kill microbes. So we have to live with that and try to do the analysis to account for that. So all we did, again, was mix and autoclave half the soil. I treated with a dilution of a half mil of formulated, well, I made a dilution of a half mil of formulated product of either Gaucho 600 or Cruiser 5F per 1,000 mils of water, and then I added I added 10 milliliters of this dilution to 12 ounces of soil. Had 4 replicates per treatment combination. Once we did that, we just essentially did a shake and bake in a Ziploc bag for each treatment. We transferred it to a 250 milliliter beaker, and we just stored it in an open shed, outside shed, for 15 days. Now, that's not very long, but we're seeing field control problems in 15 days. So if this is a real factor, it must be happening pretty quickly. Twice during that 15-day storage period, I added 30 mils of water just to keep the soil moist. And then at the end, we mixed it again, and then we submitted a 2-ounce sample of that soil for analyses. We used ProcMix, really a protected LSD, using PDIF at an alpha value of 0.05 to detect differences. Now, because I have different soil moistures and stuff when I started, essentially what I did is when I wanted to figure out the relative amount of degradation or amount of soil metabolites, or excuse me, insecticide metabolites, I did my analyses on percent to account for that. You'll see what I'm talking about. Just a picture, nothing real fancy. That's our soil. It's not a real difficult experiment to do. We sent our samples, by the way, to the USDA AMS lab, National Science Lab in North Carolina. The actives and metabolites that were detected in our test for Cruiser were thiamethoxam and its metabolites, either clothianidin or clothianidin TZMU. For the imidacloprid Gaucho treatments, we detected imidacloprid, imidacloprid olefin desnitro, if I'm saying this right, and then imidacloprid urea. I should mention here before I forget that at least some of these metabolites do retain some insecticidal activity. We know clothianidin has some insecticidal activity, but not as good as thiamethoxam. And imidacloprid olefin retains pretty good activity, not too far off of the imidacloprid parent compound. This is just a sample of the lab report we get showing the levels of detection. For the active ingredients, the primary actives, we're at a level of detection of 1 part per billion. It varies and generally less for the metabolites. You'll notice if you had a chance to study this that we do detect in our thiamethoxam treatments a little imidacloprid, very little, but it's there, and vice versa. That could be an indication of contamination, but probably what it is soil residual carryover, because we've seen that in some of the other work we've done. But it is a very low percentage. These are the main effects, and to be honest, I don't even know why I'm showing them, because the main effects really aren't very interesting when you look at them. They don't really tell you anything. So for the insecticide main effect, all it tells you is where we treated with thiamethoxam, we pretty much detected just thiamethoxam. And where we treated with imidacloprid, we detected mostly imidacloprid. There was some difference, significant differences, in the amount of imidacloprid or thiamethoxam detected depending on where the soil was collected. But that doesn't mean a whole lot either, because again, we got different soil moistures, different types, so that's probably not real meaningful. And the thing we're really interested in is, did autoclaving affect anything? But what I'm showing you on this data slide is everything. It's the parents and the metabolites. So you don't see in this data slide whether or not half of that, those bars on the right, are made up of the parent compound or metabolites or not. So you really got to break it down further, and that's what I'm going to do next. So this is the concentrations in soil from the exposed soil in Milan that had a history of insecticide seed treatment use. On the left, you're looking at Gaucho, and on the right, you're looking at the Cruiser treated soil, Cruiser treated soil. And I've just combined all the metabolites into one group. And the p-values on these graphs indicate whether there's a significant difference in the percentage of metabolites for the autoclave versus the non-autoclave soil. And in both cases, with imidacloprid or Gaucho and Cruiser, we see that there is a reduction in the percent of metabolites where we autoclave the soil. So that would indicate that we destroyed soil microbes and we reduced soil metabolism. So this is for the exposed soil. Significant, but as you can see, the metabolites aren't representing a large part or fraction of what we're detecting. This is the soil in Jackson, the unexposed soil. Very similar for imidacloprid, very similar result to what we just saw. With the thiamethoxam treatment, we did not see a significant reduction. We saw a numeric reduction, but not a significant reduction. So there may be an indication there that that previous soil exposure had or lack of it. We hadn't selected for those microbes that eat thiamethoxam, but that's a pretty weak conclusion, I think, at this time. So just to break this down a little differently, this is concentrations across all the locations in insecticide seed treatments for all the metabolites we detected on the left. So you're looking at clothianidin, and you'll notice that I've multiplied these scales out just to put them onto one graph, and we're comparing non-autoclaved and autoclaved soil, and the real point I want to make here is, regardless of the metabolites, we greatly reduced the amount of metabolites we found when we autoclaved the soil. It was highly significant for all those different metabolites. However, it wasn't even enough to significantly affect the overall concentration of imidacloprid or thiamethoxam in the soil, and that's what you're looking at on the right. So if you look at the scales, we're talking about 10, 20, up to 300 parts per billion of these metabolites, but the parent compounds are at 3,000, 3,500. So, you know, it's not a very high percentage of the overall insecticide components that we're seeing. So in conclusion is, yeah, our data does suggest that soil microbes are breaking down imidacloprid or thiamethoxam into these secondary metabolites. Some indication that maybe previous soil exposure influences things, but the reality is the amounts of metabolism that we documented were small and really should have very negligible effects on the insecticide performance. And if anything, it appeared thiamethoxam was less sensitive to soil metabolism than imidacloprid, not more, as what we would have expected based on our field performance. So I think the answer, obviously, to field performance lies elsewhere. And as you've probably heard in some other talks, including mine, it looks like the answer probably lies with resistance to tobacco thrips. Syngenta's recently reported that they've got reduced susceptibility to thiamethoxam in tobacco thrips. And I think what that means is we probably have resistance to tobacco thrips, and that's really the underlying cause of our performance issues. What do I got, a minute and a half, Ryan?
You did good.
I did good. Any questions besides you, Philip? All right, well, if not, appreciate everybody's attention. Yes, sir. Oh, man, no. I knew somebody was going to ask me that question. What's there? And that'd be a great, study, you know, I'm assuming it's bacteria, but that's just an assumption. I don't know if anybody got some experience in this room or more familiar with the literature than I am about what the microbes are that actually break down, say, atrazine. I think if you look at all the examples that I'm familiar with, it tends to be the carbamate type pesticides, and atrazine is very similar. We see it with Timic, of course, so a neonic's quite a bit different than a carbamate chemically. might be a totally different group of microbes that are responsible.
Scott, this is a little off the track, but you're up there. Do you see a difference in the entoclopridine and thalmatoxin herbicide interaction?
Yeah, and I actually, and my student showed some of that as well. We did. There was an interaction in the studies that he did, and essentially the interaction was where we had a poor treatment, the pre-emergents seemed to hurt worse. We had less vigor. We actually saw an increase in thrips. I'm not sure it's really an interaction other than, I mean, because we saw the same thing with the untreated too. And in that study, by the way, thimethoxam essentially failed, so it was very similar to the untreated. What we found with a good treatment, particularly Timic, but to some extent imidacloprid, is the pre-emergents that we used didn't seem to have much effect at all. They still controlled the thrips, and it didn't really have near the impact on vigor, the pre-emergents, that we saw with the poorer treatments. So, you know, there's an interaction, but I don't think it's a chemical interaction. You know, I think it's essentially a physical thing.
Is the university at the point where you might be considering revising recommendations regarding
Kruger? It's already been done. Most universities have revised it. I think everybody in the Mid-South now has an insect control guide that's coming out. I don't think anybody's removed thimethoxam from cotton, but we all have a lot of asterisks in there, the footnotes. And the reality is, in all our county meetings, and we've already started them, I'm making the recommendation, as I did earlier today, that in the Mid-South we avoid the use of thimethoxam, specifically on cotton. I did want to thank Bayer and Syngenta because they did provide the funding for these analyses. And it's only 32 samples, but at $167 a sample, it's pretty expensive. So we do appreciate that support. Thank you.